Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in once again to our boardroom chats. And you know, this is such a glorious week.
Yes.
We call it Holy Week.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing of God?
It's so wonderful to know that God came to give us new life, and it could be a life filled with holiness that honors Him.
That's right.
And glorifies Him.
And you know, I just preached the Palm Sunday service, and the title of the message was, Why Holy?
Yes.
He didn't say be omnipotent.
Yes.
He didn't say be omniscient. He said be holy.
Yeah.
Because He is holy.
That's right.
Well, you know, we want to talk a little bit about Holy Week as well as what's going on. We're going to celebrate this Sunday coming, and that's Easter Sunday, and it's such a blessing. And if you go to Philippians chapter 3, Kathy, I want to ask you a question about this. Verse 10, Paul says this, that I may know Him, not just believe Him, mm-hmm. and the power of His resurrection. What does that mean to you?
Hmm. Well, Paul was still seeking it, and he was pretty learned. Mm-hmm. He knew a lot about God, but that was, he just wanted to know what that whole resurrection power, what it meant, and what it gives to us.
Right.
How it changes us.
He did the resurrection, we received the power.
Yeah.
Now you think about that.
The power of the resurrection.
Yeah. And Jesus, power over what? Everything.
Everything.
Sickness, disease, death, everything. Even though death is an enemy and the last one to be destroyed, Jesus took power over. He said, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Death couldn't kill Him. Mm. And watch this. I'm going to shock you with this. Death and life's in the power of your tongue. And as long as you speak life, you don't die. Mm. Now, I don't care what happens. You don't die. The day you say, Father, and you may not say it with your words, but you can say it inside of you. I'm ready. I heard so many people say, you know, I'm ready. Boom. And they go. The power of the resurrection. The power to be healed. All the time. The power to live blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. The power to love your enemies, to pray for those that despitefully use you, and bless those that curse you. The power to produce children that you can teach the word of the living God. Mm. That's all in the resurrection. And you ready for this? It's the birthday of the church, because once that happened, nothing could stop it.
That's right. And I love living in that power. I
love
accessing that power. I love knowing that that's available to me.
Amen.
And what did the scripture say? If that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it says it's going to quicken. It means it's going to make you alive. We need that every single day. That infusion of God's power to give us supernatural life to live out everything that He's called us to do.
It doesn't visit in you.
Dwells.
It dwells, which means it's habitation. And it's flowing in every area of your life, spiritually, physically, and financially. That's why Paul, he didn't care if he lost everything. He didn't care if he won everything. Mm-hmm. He created his own life and walked in it. He created his world and walked in it. It was done through the power of that resurrection.
That's right. The word dwell reminds me of the word abide that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. And that was, of course, the night before He was crucified. He was at the Last Supper, told Him, abide in me and my words abide in you. He says, you can ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. So this abiding and dwelling is so important. That unleashes the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power is available to the church. He gave it to us.
Well, since you're a pastor, let me ask you this question. Why don't the church believe what you just said?
Maybe it's not preached enough, or maybe they're just distracted by the things in the world, but the Word of God has not changed. Jesus said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And so we need to rely upon what the Word of God has said rather than our own experience or what the world is saying. It's time for us, for the church, to rise up and activate and walk in that resurrection power.
And it's done every day, not just on Sunday.
Yes.
You know, they call it Holy Week leading up to the celebration of Easter, but every week should be holy in your life. Really, the power of the resurrection gives you such power that you don't sin every day. Now, the church world says you do. No, we have all sinned, mm-hmm. but we're not all sinners. We got born again. We got
repented. That's what being holy is all about.
That's correct. Let me tell you, you ain't going to be happy unless you're holy.
That's right.
And I said this, and I want to say it again because I preached it last week at Covenant Church. When you hear the word holiness, the first thing you think of is restrictive. Mm. Oh, you got to beat yourself down, man. No, no, no. Holiness sets you free. Holiness makes you what you are. Yeah. Holiness gives you the opportunity to receive the power of the resurrection in every which way, shape,
or form. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about a freedom in Christ.
Right.
To live a life that doesn't harm yourself or anyone else that you're around.
Yeah. And it's just so amazing to me. You know, someone said to me last night, you have so much energy. Well, it's not because of this flesh. No. It's because of the power of the resurrection.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In other words, God said, I can live every day like I live in heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I had a person got mad at me and he said, why do you live in that big house? Well, because I got a big house in heaven. What do you want me to do? It ain't my fault. His will, I live on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not showing off. I don't care. I can live, man. You got to understand something about Jesse the Plans. I had several of my friends say, you would not know Jesse that is a man of substance unless you maybe saw his home or you saw jewelry or something. I don't know, whatever. Why? You're looking at a very satisfied man. If I lived in a tent, as long as it's air conditioned, especially in South Louisiana.
And clean.
98 degrees, 100% humidity.
And I had a bathroom privilege.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a bathtub and
nearby.
Something like that.
So you got a few restrictions.
You know, we were raised very poor as a child growing up. Man, I'm not ashamed of that. Mom and Dad did the best they could do. But all I remember is, I was a happy child. You know, and at times there were some bad things that went on in my home and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I think sometimes, I'll just say it. I think we were not spanked, but whipped too much and hit a lot, you know, that kind of stuff. Especially Dad would lose his temper and things of that nature. And when you're disciplining something, you should never lose your temper. Now, let me tell you something. When God's disciplined us, if he loses his temper, he wipes us out. You see what I'm saying? And he almost lost his temper at the death of Jesus Christ. Man, I mean, the mountains began to crack and blow up and bust up. He tore down the curtain. I mean, I could tell he was a little bit frustrated, for lack of a better way to say it. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we could come boldly into the holies of holies. He took the partition away.
Right.
And that devil thought he won. I tell you one thing. I want to run back that videotape when Jesus come blowing out that out of hell in the grave and Satan goes, oh, man, if we'd have known, we'd have never crucified him. That's what Paul was saying, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection.
Right.
See, when I call focus on that resurrection, you don't focus on the problems that are around you, on the tribulation that's going on in the world and the different things that are happening. I mean, it's to me, it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? To focus on those things, focus on your priorities, you eliminate all your confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. So, I don't mean this sound prideful. I don't get confused. I know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Now, sometimes if I don't quite understand when it's going to take place, I know what to do, but the problem is timing. And that's the key to it. You know, I'll ask Kathy, what do you think about this? And she'll say, oh, what do you think about that? Or let's do this or let's do that. You know, and we focus on it and we just go on and complete the work that God has called us to do. Let me just give you an example of this. Many of you support my ministry financially. And without sounding prideful, it's a very big ministry. It is global. It brings in a lot of money. Why? Because you listen to God. But God loves us so much that he trusts us that we've never abused it. I mean, the IRS has been here, they've audited it, and they said, everything's fine. Why? Because it's not my money, it's yours. And you gave it to preach the gospel to the world, and that's what we do. Now, it takes tools to get there and all the different things. It takes tools like these cameras that I'm looking into and that you, and the televisions you watching or your iPad or your telephone, whatever, how you're watching this. Those tools, you need that to receive it, see? So that costs money. I mean, that's common sense. But the whole key to it is to simply preach this glorious gospel. I guess that's why I don't have time to slow down in essence or to retire. And there's nothing wrong with retirement, but Kathy, I'd go slap crazy if I retired. But let me just say that. They say I got so old that I couldn't walk. Well, then I'll preach sitting down. I'm going to let my light shine no matter what. And if Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, I'm going to go speak in the word of the living God. I'm going to say what Jesus said. If that happens, I prefer the rapture to take place. But if I go by the way of the grave, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Oh, that's the power of the resurrection, you know. And you know, I don't like the trouble that I see in the world. and all these different things, you know. And sometimes when God set down certain laws, you have to obey them. The flesh doesn't like it. But when you walk in the power of the resurrection, you don't have to do what the flesh says. It says, crucify your flesh. Daily, not Sunday. So it's not you that liveth, but Christ, or the anointed one in his anointing, living inside of you. What do you think of that, Kathy?
I love that. Do you have a scripture for us today? I know your Bible's open.
Yeah, I just said it. Philippians 3:10.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't need to read it. I quoted it. Glory to God.
I only
quoted the first part of it because I want to deal with it. And I'm not trying to hide the second part of it and all those kind of things.
Let me see what that says in the Amplified.
Oh, yeah. Just the power of his resurrection. What does it say?
Verse 10
Philippians 3:10.
3:10, for my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, that in some way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that
It's
a long translation.
Well, yeah, which it exerts over believers.
Which it exerts over believers. It's got a little reference point to that. Let me see what that says.
Yeah. My God.
It doesn't just say where it comes from.
Say
it
again.
Read
that part right there. And exert what?
And that I may in some way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection.
Okay, now stop a second. When you understand that, now read the second part, then you'll understand this.
This is in brackets in the Amplified Classic. It says, which it exerts over believers. They're talking about this outflowing
the second part.
Power of his resurrection. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope.
Now, do you see?
And then it keeps going, but
right. Do you see what I'm saying?
What that means.
I understand he suffered things and did other. And everybody say, yeah. See, you focus more on the things that you're going through when you ought to focus on what the power that God has given you to go through it. See what I'm saying? Yeah, I know. I mean, I've had trouble in my life. I've had the devil fight me ferociously. I've had people say awful things about me, which I did not do. And there's always some rumor going on about me, about something. But I guess that's what it means to live the gospel. See what I'm saying? But that doesn't bother me. Water on a duck's back. Do I like it? No, I don't like it, but I don't let it get to the stage of bothering me.
Right.
You see, I just keep going forward because that power of resurrection exerts that power over all those things.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
Oh, no, whatsoever at all. I pray over my food publicly. I will pray publicly. I never forget one time I went to a funeral and people said, pray for me. And I went, bow your head. They said, we're here? I said, well, the guy in the cast is not going to hear us. You know what I'm saying? For God's sake, you asked me to pray for you. So I'm going to do it. I want you to know, see? So I understand what Paul is saying. I'm going to read the whole scripture in the King James. Then, Kathy, I want you to read the whole scripture again in the Amplified. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Then verse 11 said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, see, he's going down to where this, he's trying to get to verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now read that whole verse 10 again in the Amplified.
Verse 10 says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him.
That's so good, man.
Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. And then you want to read verse 14?
Okay, wait. I want you to start again.
That was 11.
I'm going to give you a sermon if you're a preacher. Start at the top again.
Of which one?
Verse 10. And I'm going to stop you in the way I want to get to it. Say it again.
I'm going to be like in volleyball. I'm going to lift the ball and
kick it over the net.
For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person.
Stop. Perceiving, recognizing, understanding. That's a three-point message right there.
Yes, it is.
Perceiving, recognizing it,
recognizing.
And understanding it. Then all the other stuff does follow. You see, that's why me and Kathy live the way we live. We perceive, we recognize, we understand.
Right.
That's what the power of the resurrection is. Now, most people are going to say, yeah. And he calls it, in the King James, the fellowship of his suffering, which means I want to be just like Jesus. If he go through something, I go through it too. If he wins, I win. Because you already have won, see. The race has already been won, has already been run and won. And I said this on our wonderful Faith the Fact, and you're in the winner circles to understand the power of the resurrection. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, what does the Passion Translation say?
Of which verse?
Of verse 10. Read that again.
I was just looking at that while you were talking.
Yeah, listen with the Passion.
Verse 10 says, and I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death.
See what I'm saying? In other words, I just want to be like him.
Just that sounds like a song.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you think of that, that's an amazing thing to me, to be like Christ. Now, watch this. Let's get to the things he did. You know, he gave us the power to do the same thing he did. St. John 14, verses 12, 13, and 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Watch this. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, most religious people say, well, I know he said that, but. No. And greater works than these shall he do. Whoo, that's a big statement. Because I go to my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he says, if you ask anything in my name, I would do it. That's such revelation to me. That's perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what I told you?
Yeah.
Perceiving. What's the second one?
Oh, it's moved on.
Perceiving and understanding. Go ahead, get to it. Yeah, I love that. When she said it went off of me like a shotgun. You have to perceive things to know how to handle things, to recognize. That's it. Perceiving, recognizing, and understanding. So when Satan tries to attack me, I recognize the fact and perceive the fact and understand the fact that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. That's the power of the resurrection. Think about that. That exerting power in our life here, not there, not in heaven, here. That's why the Our Father prayer is so phenomenal. Our Father who art in heaven, got to know where he's at. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Some people say in earth or on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know why I get persecuted or criticized because I want to live here like I live in heaven, not so I can just have money or I don't know, whatever you think that is. I want to live like Jesus lived. You know, he never had a financial deficit. Let me help you. Neither has Jesse. And 49 years of preaching this glorious gospel, I've never had a financial deficit. I'm going to tell you why. You ain't going to believe this. And some of y'all going to think I'm lying like a dog. I never knew till I began to check on it. In all my years of ministry, I always pay my own expenses. I don't charge churches when I go. Now, I receive an offer not to meet my expenses. No, because I really don't know what they are. Why? Because the Lord said in 1978, he said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. Now, listen to this. I want you to understand this. So I went back and I got some of my people in finance. I said, I want to find out how much money that we paid, so I didn't have to, so I could go to that church without charging, because some of them couldn't afford that. That would mean food, hotels, airplane tickets, gasoline, you know, the different things it takes to do
that. Which we've never required, which a lot of traveling ministries demand.
Oh, they demand. And I have no problem with that. I'm not trying to be critical. I mean, I believe in paying people's expenses. I got no problem with that. I mean, that's okay. But this is Jesse talking here. This is how I wanted to live my life. Ladies and gentlemen, now this is in 49 years, not 1 year. I have paid a little over $200 million in expenses that churches should have paid. That's a lot of money.
Well, you know, now, technically, Jesse, our partners did that.
Our partners sent it in. We have done that. I had made up my mind if a partner wouldn't have done it, I'd have done it. But right. God sent people to help me. Now, watch it. $200 million, you heard me, million dollars. That's a lot of money. Now, that is seed. Partners, you sowed.
Hallelujah.
I sowed.
That's right.
We sowed.
And we went.
And it happened. You can, I can, we can, because he can.
Right.
Watch that. Now, you gonna get mad at me because I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out? No, you shouldn't be. Why am I that? That's the harvest of that. There are a lot of ministries today, they just struggle so bad. And I don't mean this pridefully. I don't struggle. You know why? Whoo, I see what's happening. Mm-hmm. I recognize it.
Recognize.
And understand it. And I just go forward. Mm-hmm. I don't have the supposed don't work syndrome. When I married Kathy on June the 6th, 1970, we never thought of, well, how long is this going to last? You know, we did it. And of course, she had the right to divorce me because I was a crazy man first 5 years of our marriage. But I guess your love for me was stronger than the junk I was doing. I don't know, or something like that. I don't know. But what happened is she began to focus on salvation after she got born again.
Right.
See, when you're not born again, man, you're so limited.
I have no answers.
You have no answers. You see what I'm saying? Because you don't perceive.
You don't understand.
You don't recognize and you don't understand. I might ought to use that for today's resurrection sermon on Easter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you understand that and just preach it off the top of my head, glory to God. Oh, like I said, preach it out of my spirit. So when you understand that, see, it's going to be 55 years come June the 6th of 2025 that we've been married. Right. I've been knowing Kathy 57 years, I think. Now watch this. I mean, we were together very young. She was 15. I was 18 when I met her. And then she was 17 when I married her, and I was 20.
Almost 20. Almost 18 and almost 21.
Almost 18, almost.
We had summer
almost
birthdays.
21.
We married in June.
Yeah, we were June brides, what they call it. Now watch this. All these years. Now, hey, I don't mean this in a bad way. We've grown old together. Now, I don't think she's old.
I don't think older.
Now, you know, I like my granddaughter goes, look at that white hair. I don't know about this and that.
It's relative.
It's
people
all relative. You know what I'm trying to say?
People think we're young.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you think of the bright side, you know?
That's a
so
good
when
thing.
You understand that, did we have trouble? You better know we had a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But we had Jesus.
We had the resurrection power of Jesus.
Oh,
not just
Lord.
Knowing about him, but knowing him. And it's transformational.
Yeah, we perceived it.
Yeah.
We recognized it.
We perceived it, recognized it.
And we understood and we it. That is a great definition.
And we want to know it more.
And amplify. Oh,
more
God.
Clearly, he
Every
says.
Day. Every day I learn more about my relationship with God.
Right.
And then I actually, my fellowship with God. I talk to God so much easier today than I did when I first got born again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to shock you with this kind of analogy. When I was born again... Yeah, this is going to blow your socks off. I was an adult. Today, I'm a child. Yes, we grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, but we're not adults in God's eyes. We're his children. Now, watch this. Children are born believers until you teach them to doubt. I started out as an adult, and I had doubt. But as I progressed in the power of his resurrection to perceive, to recognize, to understand, I became a child. Yes, I grew to the stature of Christ, growing and still growing, but I became a childlike. Just believe
child
what
God.
He said. Just believe what he said. Just listen, don't complicate it. Watch it. Just believe what he said.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a child. Listen, we're going to eat today at 5:00. Okay. Or watch this. Hey, y'all, we're going to take y'all to Disney World. Children. Okay. Yeah. I adult would say that. Well, how much is that going to cost? Mm. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can take time off of that. I'd love to do it. But child says, when are we going?
Yeah. Can I bring a friend?
See, that's a good analogy. I like that. Never said that before in my life. The Lord just gave that to me. You started out as an adult, and you progress to becoming my child. Yeah, you grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Yes, I know more,
mature,
a lot
right.
more about the Word of God today than I did back then. But I had an adult way of looking at it instead of a child way of looking at it, which increased my faith. And every day my faith is increasing.
Right.
What
well,
you think
Paul,
of that?
I love that. Paul knew God, knew Jesus. In fact, he met him on that Damascus road,
yeah.
had a total life turnaround. And he was used by God in the ministry. And this probably was written maybe 20 years after he's in the ministry, I'm assuming. I think it's close to that. But he still said, my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I might receive, recognize, understand. And then he goes on to say, more strongly, more clearly than all the than he's already known him. And he knew him well. But we're always going to be, even in eternity, we're going to be learning more and more about God in every phase of his goodness. And I just reminded about when you had that heavenly vision, which we have several testimonies that talk about that because we aired it recently.
Okay.
Somewhere, I'm sure on one of our platforms or something,
uh-huh.
because I remember looking at it too, but I just don't know where. But anyway, it's always there on our JDM app. But I remember when you were in heaven, you said there was a point when Jesus brought you to the throne and the angels of God were encircling the tomb and and declaring holy, holy. Every time they
made a circle.
How did you
holy,
say that?
Holy, holy.
Every
holy,
time they
the great God Jehovah.
They were seeing another facet of God's goodness. And
every
so for
time
eternity,
they made a circle.
They've been declaring that.
It's been trillions and trillions of years. Every time they make a circle, they saw a part of God they'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand it with God. I can understand with Kathy. Every day, I see a part of her I'd never seen before.
And you like it better. Like it better, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I feel the same way about you. Sometimes you just... You're not even talking, but I'm just looking at you. I can tell you're thinking about something. And I value and appreciate our relationship
sure.
and the fact that I can know you.
Right.
I think I know you more than any other human
I think
on
so.
The earth. I'm sure.
I'm sure you do.
That.
But I mean, it's just amazing.
And I still love you more every day. The more you know God, like Paul was
God.
Saying, I know him, but I want to know him more. Like, I know Jesse. But I want to know him more.
It's like this. I've had people say, you know, you're a public figure. You need a little work done. the wrinkles. It's true. It's like, but let me tell you why I'm not doing that. And it's okay if you do it. Hey, I have no problem with that. I earn these. And every time I look at myself, I earn these. I said, you know, I went through tribulation, tests, and trials. And there's one scar. You think it's a scar, a wrinkle. Right in the middle there, see?
The deep
and you
one.
Know what it reminds me of?
Your birth.
I was a veil baby. And it's never left me. You can see it when I'm...
It reminds you of your beginning.
Yeah.
On the earth.
Mama thought I didn't have a nose. I didn't have... I had a veil from
a
here.
A clear membrane.
Completely over there. And when the doctor delivered me, Dr. LaRocca here in Algiers, Louisiana, a suburb of New Orleans, he said, oh, my God, look here. A veil baby. Now... They could get rid of my veil scar, but I'm not going to let that happen because it's a part of my life. So, if you want to get a facelift, do what I have no problem with any of that. Don't misunderstand. I'm just talking about me here. I'm proud of, and I hate to say it sounds arrogant, I'm proud of the way I look because it causes me to remember the hard times and the good times in every which way, shape, or form.
You know, I've heard it said that the aging that we experience in our body is a reminder that this place is not our home.
That's right.
Heaven is our home. We're going to get a new body one day, a resurrected body, the way Jesus did, a body that will live for eternity.
And what a blessing that's going to be. That's the power of his resurrection. We're about ready to go off right now, but I want you to
can
understand
Can I read the
it.
Testimonies before we go
read
off?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, if
They're
you don't
so
mind.
They're so good.
Read them.
Especially this one here.
This is good about social media. You can go as long as you want.
From YouTube. No restrictions.
No
that's
restrictions.
That's where you like to live.
Hallelujah.
Before Jesus. YouTube, and this is from the Heaven Close Encounters of the God Kind message that was aired recently. It says, I gave my life to Jesus after watching your video of your heavenly encounter exactly 10 years ago this month, to the month. I was radically changed after that and have had the privilege of sharing the gospel wherever I go.
Praise
Thank
God.
You so much for your love and service to the Lord. Brother Jesse, may the Lord bless you mightily. Thank you JDM for uploading this video at this time. It is such a gift to me.
That is called Close Encounters of the God Kind. You ought to go see it. It's my heavenly trip that happened to me in 1988.
Heaven is the leading title.
Yeah.
But so that you can identify it. But it is the Close Encounter because that message includes several encounters that you had with God. But primarily it focuses on the heavenly encounter.
And some people don't believe it, but everyone that saw it, they go, it shakes me to my shoes because it's real.
It's so powerful.
It was not a vision. Mm-hmm. It was a trip. Go ahead, Kathy.
And this next one's referring to that as well. Maribel says, I was feeling low at work, and I remembered to listen again to Jesse's encounter with God and his heavenly experience. My mood instantly changed to being hopeful. Hallelujah for your testimony. Your story always lifts me up. And, you know, always remember when you told that story, you said, Lord, why did I come here? Why didn't you give this vision to someone bigger or greater?
Yeah, I thought
because at the time, Billy Graham was alive.
To Billy Graham.
Yeah, and then... But anyway, he wanted you to come up, and he said, go tell them I'm coming. And you said, they already know that.
And he got stern with me. He said, no, they don't. You see, God saw my ministry. I didn't see the fullness of it.
This was back in 1988.
In 1988 at Magnolia, Arkansas. I had room 105 at the Best Western Hotel at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll never forget it as long as I ever live. My point is, and I can get into this, was that I said, God, nobody knows who I am. But he knew that one day I would be known globally. But
yes,
I didn't. I thought, man, get Billy Graham. You know what I'm saying? Because I think Billy Graham's the greatest myself. You know. Go ahead. Is there any more?
This one. Patricia says, watching from Queensland, Australia. Thank you for today's message. Love you all, and God bless. We'll be going to Australia really soon.
Yes, very.
Hope to see you at one of the meetings, Patricia. We're going all over the continent.
Yeah.
And this one from says, I also believe in prosperity, healing, and deliverance because it's freely given to me by God. I agree with you, Jesse and Kathy. Let's create our world and walk in it.
Oh, that's
I love you
theme.
So much. Watching from Zimbabwe.
Well, let me just say this to all of you today. Know the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
And you know what? Become a child.
Be childlike.
Childlike. Not childish.
Child of God.
Childlike. And you'll believe. I hope you can watch it Sunday. You know what? I just felt a little... I want you to keep the notes. I'm going to do that amplified definition of the resurrection.
Okay,
that
good.
Struck me.
That's going to be great.
What's the first one? You perceive it?
Perceive.
You recognize,
recognize
it?
And understand.
And then understand it.
Resurrection power of Jesus.
And bless. Jesse and Kathy said, we love you. Have a great Holy Week. Hope to see you Sunday
yes.
at Covenant Church. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.